Kia ora, and thanks so much for your company this morning. Glowry's online. He's got a weather forecast for us to start us off. How are you doing, mate?
Very, very good. And the weather is shit here. That's all I can say about that.
Well, that's a fairly blunt description. You've got it right for Tamaki Makaurau as well. Thanks, Glowry. Thank you for joining us. Can we start with the backtrack on the conservation bill? This was a hot topic, and a lot of New Zealanders were absolutely just infuriated, really, by the thought of selling off the conservation estate, bits and bobs, as it was described by Tama Pōtaka. But fortunately, People Power have resulted in a pullback regarding that. What's your thinking on it, please, Rawiri?
I think the bill as a whole is a dangerous bill for us, Dale. When you're talking about bits and bobs, who determines what bits and bobs looks like? You know, what we already know is that Dockland has already confiscated Māori land. And what you have is the ability for this government, and they already are able to sell it through other mechanisms that they have in place already right now, without even having to push this particular legislation forward. But what we see is a marriage between what the coalition government is doing and actually all the objectives coming together as one. So you've got this piece of legislation that allows DOC to sell off bits and bobs, and who's determining what bits and bobs looks like. Like I said, that DOC land is confiscated Māori land. That's the first point I want to make. The second thing is that you've got fast-track legislation moved by New Zealand First, and then you've got regulatory standards bill that was moved by ACT. And all of these particular pieces of legislation will lead to more exploitation of our whenua and corporate greed. And so we've got to be very, very careful with these pieces of legislation. They may seem benign and he may even look at taking pieces of it out of the legislation. But dangerously, what this does is it removes, even their ability to be able to navigate through the RMA, the ability for the tribunal to be able to challenge in a legal sense, Y262, those particular claims are all under threat. And then you've got treaty settlements themselves, where Māori are now concerned that, these pieces of these types of legislation will then start to challenge the settlements that many iwi have worked hard for. And some of them are 30 years deep, like Kaitahu, who are taking DOC to court anyway. And Waikato Hauraki also in many of these spaces. So, we've just got to be very, very careful about what bits and bobs looks like and who determines what bits and bobs looks like in regards to this piece of legislation moving forward.
Tēnākoe, you've described or said that there is no such thing as conservation land because it's confiscated Māori land.
That's correct. And so when you have a look at, our history, 3 million hectares confiscated, over the period between the 1860s all the way through to today. And then you've got the systemic mechanisms that they use, like the Public Works Act and many other acts that they've used to be able to alienate Māori from whenua, confiscate Māori land, using the government systems to continue to do that. And like I said, Public Works Act, they took a lot of whenua for schools, rails, roads that they never used. And those should be given back. So they've taken it, they've confiscated it legally, they confiscated things illegally, and we're continuing to see those types of harmful legislations being moved through the House by Māori themselves sitting in Pākehā parties. And so that's also something for us to consider as we head into November 7th. When people say there are more Māori in Parliament, no, there's not. You've got Māori sitting in National, which means there are more National MPs there to protect the National agenda. You've got more Labour Māori MPs that are there to protect the Labour agenda. And so those are the things that we have to consider when Māori are sitting in some of those spaces, because they have a party line to follow. And that's just the reality of it.
Thank you. When you talk of treaty settlements, and we see a $30 million fiscal hole in Immigration New Zealand's IT strategy, $30 million. When you consider the hardships that many of our iwi and hapū have gone through and getting paltry payouts in the treaty settlement system, and then look at a $30 million fiscal hole in Immigration New Zealand's IT strategy, how does that make you feel?
Well, look, this is a space that probably needs to be more, investigated and invested in, is technology, AI, even electrification of our country. All of those things will require kind of adult, really, really mature conversations about where we're heading to and the safety around those particular measures. Many of our rangatahi and tamariki, open to huge harm when it comes to technology, AI, and you've seen that in the past where AI has been used to harm many of our communities. One of our kuia was used in Hobson's Pledge campaign against the Maori wards without her permission. And so these are the real harmful things that are happening. You've got many of our tamariki who have been harmed and bullied through through technology. So this requires a very, very mature conversation. It requires all of us to be around the table to ensure that there is not harm. And like I said, Y262 ensures that intellectual property and Tiwi Māori is protected through this, whether it be our cultural protection, but even our own personal identity. All of those things are in question when it comes to this, and we need stronger legislation around protection, not stronger legislation around allowing those things to be more accessible to our people. And I am concerned that the safety, not just of our tamariki and our rangatahi, but of our cultural appropriation is also something that needs to be measured. Technology also, has shown in the past, and especially in government agencies where many of our information has been publicly made available when it should be protected. So kuna hoki tāku, these are things that we need to be having more conversations about, but there needs to be stronger legislations around protections.
Tēnā koe, to the health and safety regulations, which could have a huge impact on great numbers of New Zealand workers, bearing in mind most New Zealand companies do have under 20 staff members. What's the threat that you see most to particularly our young men who are so frequently killed in our forests, Rawiri?
Well, look, every worker deserves to return to their whānau safe and healthy every day. Dale, I know this for a fact because we've had many of our people, of our young fellas' lives taken through forestry here on the coast, and that the coast that was the promise of Oranga for us. And there have been many unfortunate and fatal accidents happened in the bush with many of our rangatahi. So health and safety, the Health and Safety Amendment Bill is about removing health and safety requirements for all businesses. This is huge concern. And what that tells me is that this government, once again, is putting profit before people. It's a shocking, we're in a shocking space in regards to where this government is headed to. Pike River, comes to mind. We've had nephews here and on the coast that have lost lives because there hasn't been stringent enough health and safety rules around protecting our people. This government is putting profits before people, and our people, 50% more likely to die on the job. They're non-Māori because of the type of work that we work in. Māori workers experience a rate of serious injury at work, 31% higher than non-Māori across all industries. So, we're the ones working in these hard labour spaces, and we need to just make sure that there are stronger protections and that there is liability for those companies who are not putting in those safety precautions for our whānau, and that our whānau and their whānau waiting at home deserve to see them at the end of the day.
Yeah, tēnā koe. What about this legislation trying to formally identify men and women? I'd suggest most of our Māori whānau, are comfortable enough with diversity. They don't really give a toss about how people carry themselves in life. If they want to dress as women and they're men, well, who cares? The media are making a lot of this, and guys like Winston who want this clarified, and then you've got Tamaki who's standing on his pulpit preaching, anti-Sikh, anti-Muslim, anti-Punjab, all getting significant traction in the media as if it's the major issue. Forget about housing and health and homes and cost of living crises. It's as if we are all hanging on every word about how people live their lives. What are you making of this political sideshow, if you will?
Well, what it does show, and you've just mentioned two, right? You've just mentioned two people who represent two patriarchal and colonial systems. And that's where this type of ideology comes from. It's embarrassing that all three government parties, the coalition government, are supporting it. But it'll have a profound impact on our mokopuna. And like you said, Dale, like, who cares how people want to live their lives? The entire exercise shows the fragility of the Western thought, and it takes away from our own indigenous perspective on how we see the world. And I've made many speeches in the House that talked about even our language being non-binary. Ko au, ko koe, ko ia, ko tāua, ko māua, ko rātou, ko koutou, ko tātou, ko mātou. All of those words do not identify women and men. They all identify us as all being inclusive in a society where we should be able to live free of who we are, and how we want to do that with some freedom and dignity. It's not our fault that the Pākehā language is a sexist language. Him, her, not once in those things. I don't say, oh, who is that boy over there? I say, ko ai tēnā. That doesn't say anything about who they are as a female or a male, or however they would like to identify. And there's no debate. What this is that colonial and Western ideologies need to look at themselves. And all this is you've got governments and church, and I mean white churches, like Brian Tamaki's church, often uphold a very Westernized, patriarchal and imperialistic view, and all that is what they're trying to do is uphold that, because they're losing grip. They're losing grip of those Westernized imperialist systems all across the world, and you can see it happening in America. You can see it happening in Australia, where the racist, bigotry, misogynistic, Westernized, colonialist views are losing grip. And that indigenous ideologies are now rising because they're more inclusive, they're more accepting, and they're not so judgmental on holding on to these particular imperialistic views that uphold their systems. There's only 6% Pākehā in this world, but what that's telling us is that there's 94% of the rest of us upholding their systems. We've just got to decolonize faster and re-indigenize our spaces so we're not having to deal with this type of rubbish.
Tēnā koe, really interesting response. Thank you. Looking forward to hosting Mananui, actually, on our program Te Kaupapa, which goes to air tomorrow at 10 a.m., our political panel with Bomber and Tiana and myself. So it'll be wonderful to meet Mananui. Just as we wrap up, too, on a positive note, I see Kura Tuarua Nationals are on next week, get underway on Tuesday in Mount Maunganui. No doubt you and your Stetson will visit it at some stage.
Oh, I'll be attending that particular kapa because in my region. So those of you that are, around and many of our whānau will start to migrate on to Tauranga Moana, no mai haramai. We're looking forward to this festival and the class of our tamariki to be able to express all the things that are on there, ngākau, on the stage. We're really looking forward to it. So looking forward to hearing the messages, looking forward to seeing all our people come together, and looking forward to our to continue to see our rangatahi, and I mean rangatahi as a whole. Tāne mai, wahine mai, takatāpui mai will all be there to ensure that their voices are heard in those particular spaces and to show the world how magic we are, and that Te Iwi Māori just goes from strength to strength across all platforms and across all ages. Kapahaka is one of the safest spaces you can be who you want to be and share your messages and be with your whānau and stand together in unity and to show that Te Iwi Māori is stronger than ever.
It's going to be awesome too. And I'll let Dan from TVNZ know that he's got a competitor for the Weather Forecaster of the Year. thank you, Rawiri. Good talking with you again. Yummy.
Kia ora ngā mihi nui.
Tēnā koe, Rawiri Waititi, co-leader of Te Pāti Māori.